We should sing. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Ed. Amen. There's a lot of reasons why we should be able to sing, and that's a few of them, and that's worthy. God's worthy for us to sing. Turn with me to a common verse that we may have read over and over again, and the children. Let's have the children who are here to go next door. They have a class going over next door. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12, if you would, please. Romans 12, just look at that one verse there, one or two verses in Romans 12. It's a very common verse. We all know it. But we can skip over that and not realize what the Lord is saying here when we're not studying, meditating upon God's word, and allowing it to speak to us. This one verse that he mentions here basically sums up the Christian walk and Christian life. But sometimes we don't see it that way. And depending on where we're at, and like I've mentioned here before, because we're online, because we use sermon audio, we have people that listen in all over. And some of the countries that they are in and the difficulties they may be having are a lot different than what maybe the churches in America are experiencing. Though we're all going to end up there on the same page eventually that we see in Revelation. But right now, when we talk about the things that happen to the church, it's not the same sometimes as what's going on the other side of the world. And some of the other countries are going through some things that their churches over there are going through some things that we hope we will never have to go through. But we forget sometimes on how we need to live our Christian life. And this one verse gives us three simple principles of living a Christian life. So let's read that real quick. Chapter 12 of Romans, verse number 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, talking to the people of the church, believers in God, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, we're just going to spend just a few minutes and break that down on what he's telling us here. One verse that means a lot to us to help us to live a Christian life. And he begins by saying, he's talking, of course, to the brethren, and saying that we should present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord. We're going to start with that verse, that word that says acceptable. We cannot offer our life to the Lord in service without becoming a believer in Jesus Christ. We are not acceptable in our condition that we live in today. Before we became Christians, we may have thought, like we said a little bit this morning, that we could somehow measure up or change our life to somehow measure up to God's acceptance. And God tells us plainly there's no way that you can ever be in a condition that is acceptable to me, because we are all sinners. We all come short of the glory of God, and there's none that are righteous. And if we don't have the righteousness of God and no sin, we cannot be accepted in God's eyes. We are born unacceptable. We are born in sin. We cannot change our nature. We cannot make ourselves acceptable to God. Only Christ can make anyone acceptable in the eyes of God. And that's why we know we have through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have that covering of our sin by his blood, that when the Lord looks at us and God looks upon us and our hearts, he sees the blood of Christ. It covers all our sins. And now we can have an acceptable life unto God. And so he mentions that here, that we have to in order for us to be acceptable unto God, we obviously need to be a believer in Christ. But then he mentions right before that we should be holy. And we've seen some verses on this in the scriptures that talk about how we should have a holy life. The Bible tells us to be holy as I am holy. And some people say, well, how can we be as holy as God? But God wants us to be an example to the world, just like Christ was an example. If we can follow our Lord in this world the way he lived his life, we can be holy to those that we meet, that they can see a difference and they can see God in us. So we not only become a believer in Christ, we become a follower of Christ. You cannot be holy to God without being a follower of Christ. The world needs to see Christ in us, shine forth from us, and we cannot show forth Jesus if we're in sin or if we're doing things we shouldn't be doing that makes our life unholy to God. He doesn't want believers to be in sin. He doesn't want us to live a life of sin. He wants us to be separated and come out from among them. He doesn't want us to be part of this world. He doesn't want us to continue to be like this world, to look like this world, to act like this world. He wants us to be separated and show forth the love of God to the people who need Jesus. And those people can see the holiness of God within us because we're a follower of Christ. I mentioned before last week and many times before that there's people in other countries and other places that if they're a follower of Christ, they are going to go through a lot more than what we would go through proclaiming that we're a follower of Christ. But yet we still need to be a follower of Christ regardless of our circumstances, regardless of the government, regardless of the laws. We should still take a stand for God and be a follower of God and be holy. God wants us to believe as believers in a Christian life to be acceptable unto God, meaning we're a believer in Christ, and also to be holy unto God. You know, when you become a follower of Christ, there is an immediate change. There's an immediate change in my life, and you know there's an immediate change in your life. Many of you have given your testimony. Many of you have told us what had happened in your life and what it is today and what it was before. And we realized that in all of our situations, in every life that we had, when we trusted Christ as our Savior, there is an immediate change in our life. But then we also know there's an ongoing change in our life. God, it took a while. God had to work on me a lot. But my words that used to come out of my mouth were vile words. Like every other word was the wrong word to say in public. I didn't care. I didn't care what people thought. This is the way I spoke. This is the way I talked. But as soon as I got saved, God began to work on my heart and say, you cannot say those things anymore. They become like poison in my mouth. And as soon as they hit my mind, it irritates me. It makes me mad at why I'm even thinking about using that word. It bothers me. Because God began to change me, he changed me immediately, and then begins to change me ongoing in my life that I can be more like him. The Bible calls that sanctification, so that we can be sanctified every day, changed more into the image of God every day, allowing ourselves to draw closer to God. And I guarantee you, the closer you get to God, the less you're going to be like in the flesh. The more you're going to be like him. He wants us to be holy. We know there's that immediate change and ongoing change. The Bible talks about that one day we're going to have a final change, and I'm looking forward to that. In 1 Corinthians 15:51, it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Hallelujah. That used to be the favorite verse in the nursery for a while. And I understand that. And sometimes I can relate that to my life. It's about time I get rid of some poop and I start living for Jesus. Sometimes we got to get rid of some things. We got to be changed. And God's going to make a change in us one day, and we're going to be like in his image. 1 John 3 tells us that we're going to be changed. When we see him, we're going to be like him. We're going to be in his image. Praise the Lord. We got to become a believer in Christ. We have to be acceptable unto God. We have to be a follower of Christ. We have to be holy unto God. But this other part of this verse is troubling. When you place it in the understanding of the scriptures and what was going on and what used to go on, it says here that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Now, we can be acceptable to God by being a believer in Jesus Christ, and now we're acceptable and we're going to have a home in heaven. And we can live a holy life and have Jesus change us daily and all the time, that we can be more like him every day and be more holy like he is holy. And if we're doing those two things, it won't be so hard to do the third one and be a sacrifice. A sacrifice is when we become a servant to God and we're willing to do whatever he wants us to do regardless of the cost. Now, when you look at the word sacrifice, anytime you hear sacrifice in the scriptures, the first thing that should pop into your mind is death. Because that's what it was. When people used to make a sacrifice unto the Lord, they would take a lamb or they'd take whatever the occasion was and whatever their living was, whether they're rich or poor. God gave a specification on what they're supposed to bring to God as an offering. But there's many times that we'd bring offering to God for different things, for a heave offering or just a change of seasons and other things that we could do just to show how much we love when we live that gift. But they would have that atonement that happened once a year where they'd have to bring a lamb before the priest and he would have to slay it on the altar. And while the blood was dripping down, you had to confess your sins and God would place a hold on you one more year until another atonement happens so that you wouldn't be judged for the sins that you're in. So anytime you hear about sacrifices in the scriptures, you automatically think of death. Because something's dying if there's a sacrifice involved. And that's why he says here that he wants us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. That means we're not dying except we're dying to ourselves that we can live for Christ. And that's going to cost us some things. Anytime you sacrifice something, that means you're giving up something. And it's going to cost you for giving that up. When you make a sacrificial give, a offering and love offering to the Lord, it's got to cost you something. It can't be free. The time we mentioned in David's time when he sinned against God, when he numbered the people, and God said, you can stop this and stay this. All this death that's happened, this pestilence that happened in the land, to go out into this field and make a sacrifice. And he went out there, and of course the owner of the field says, take my cattle, take everything you got, take my field, make an offering, give it unto God, I give it all unto you, King. And he said, no, it must cost me something to make this sacrifice. And if you're going to sacrifice something to God, it's going to cost you something. Otherwise, it's not a sacrifice. You're giving out of your abundance, and I'm glad people give, but I'm telling you, you miss a blessing when you just give out of your abundance or you give because it's a sacrifice. It's going to cost you something. And he's saying here, live your life, present your life to God as a living sacrifice. John 15:20 says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, and they did, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. God's telling us if Jesus himself was the ultimate sacrifice and he gave his life and people still hated him for it, there's going to be people out there that's going to bring persecution in your life and they're going to hate you too. Persecution is normal when you're living a Christian life. If we don't have persecution upon us, there's probably some difficulty that we're avoiding because God says, if you're going to be a servant of mine, you're going to make sacrifices for me, and that will probably cause some persecution in your life. There have been situations over situations that we read today in Revelation, that verse we read today. It talked about God was telling them that, they're doing some things right and doing some wrongs, but some people have crept in and they've caused issues and problems. And he knows that the situation that's going through, the persecution that's going through and living in, God knows what his people are going through. And God could take us away that persecution at any moment in time, but he allows it to happen because you're not going to be able to be a living sacrifice for God unless it's going to cost you something. And it may cost you some persecution. You may have to go through some things. I think about the people in the Bible. About John the Baptist, and he was beheaded by King Herod. Stephen was stoned. We read about that. And it's important when we read through that it said that Stephen was full of faith in the Holy Spirit. He was working for God. He was busy for God. So why would God allow that one to be martyred and die when they could have used one of the other ones in there that really wasn't doing anything for God? Because God gets more glory and the world gets more of God when God uses his people that are sold out for him and they make a sacrifice for him, and no one in the world understands why they would have ever done that. And Stephen was there and said, you know, forgive them, just like Jesus did on the cross, for what they do. And they heard those words. It stayed with Saul to the point when he was saved, those images I know popped in his head over and over again about the many Christians that he persecuted and killed and threw into prison, all in the name of God, and he didn't even know God. And that's why he keeps saying he was the chiefest of sinners, because he persecuted the church. Peter himself was crucified upside down at his request because he felt he was unworthy to be crucified like Christ. Bartholomew died in some town called Alabanopolis. I don't even know how to pronounce that, in Armenia, where he was beaten and they flayed him alive and afterwards crucified and lastly beheaded him. I mean, how much more could you do to him than that? They hated him so much, and people throughout the world are being persecuted even today. We know that during the Roman persecutions, it began with Nero and lasted several hundred years. Some were dressed in shirts made with stiff wax, and they would fix them on these axle trees, and they set them on fire in the gardens in order to illuminate them. And there was no distinction between a age of a person or sex of a person. If they had the name of Christian or being a follower of Jesus, it was obnoxious to them and made them sick to realize that these people walked around and doing the things they did, that they would put them to death in horrible ways, and they would stone them and they'd set their houses on fire and they would continue to drive them out into the sea and try to get rid of Christianity completely. William Tyndale, some of y'all know the history of him, was stirred up of God to translate the scriptures into his mother language for the profit of simple people being able to understand the gospel in his country. He was tied to the stake, strangled by the hangman, afterwards consumed with fire in 1536. And crying, it says in the history books, at the stake with a fervent zeal and a loud voice, he said, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." And this man was put to death by being burnt. We have situation after situation you hear on in the news and on Christian stations and other places that happen throughout the world in these Muslim situations. And I have a couple of them written down here. There's a Christian named Amos, which was killed in India, in an area of India. And we have several pastors that we support in India, and they back these stories up because India doesn't like Christianity. Once it out of the country, the only reason they act like they accept it is because of the public opinion in the Union, the United Nations, because they're trying to show that they allow everything up there, but they really hate Christians in India. And two men arrived at Amos's house and interrogated him and his family about his brother, who was a pastor. His name was Paul. And Amos's wife and mother-in-law told the men that Amos was a Christian and confirmed that he was this pastor's brother. And the men beat Amos with clubs and threatened to kill his three small children and present the woman. He told his wife that she needed to throw stones at her husband. And fearing the man, she went ahead and complied and stoned her husband. Another pastor was getting ready for Sunday worship in Kashmir of India. And a leader from a nearby mosque, along with five other men, ordered him to vacate and close the house of God. And the pastor had a handicapped son and was beaten by Muslims in the past for his faith in Christ. And Muslims have also stopped supplying a pastor and his family with drinking water in order to pressure him to leave the area. And it's just one thing after the next, over and over and over again. People are dying for their faith. People are giving their life for Jesus. People are making their life a living sacrifice for the Lord. But you know, when we think about these men, Stephen, Paul, Peter, when we think about William Tyndale and all the Christians over the dark ages that lost their life the many believers that even today are losing their life, losing their family, losing everything they ever had for the gospel's sake in different Muslim countries around the world, that they're still taking a stand for God, even though they know that any moment soldiers should come in there and they can just shoot them all and legally get away with it. We would look at them people and say, man, they are special Christians. They were super saints. They were so godly and holy. Many of us might not want to be in their situation because we don't want that to happen to us or our family. But we look at them as being special, that God could have saved them from that situation but didn't allow them to go through it for whatever particular reason it was. And we may question why they may have had to lose their lives or why their children had to be killed in front of their eyes. And we may think and lift them up and say, these are the special Christians. Well, we wonder what God thinks of them. And we know that in Stephen's case, that Jesus stood up when Stephen was stoned. God tells us in Revelation that there's a special place, or in the way you can think of it is as reward for those who are martyred for Christ's sake. But what does Christ say here in Romans 12:1? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That means if we allow ourselves to be a living sacrifice for God and to go through the persecutions of this world, though it may cost us our children, though it may cost us our life, though it may cost us our church, though it may cost us many things, God says that's your reasonable service. Meaning that's what he expects from his children. This isn't something special over and above. This is what all Christians should live their life like. We should all be a living sacrifice. We should all be willing to give it all up to the Lord Jesus Christ. We should all give our reasonable standard service for God, instead of what we're giving them now, maybe. And sometimes Christians have a hard time making it to church. Sometimes Christians have a hard time giving a dollar in the offering. Sometimes Christians have a hard time praying for a missionary. I forgot their names. I don't remember who they are. Sometimes we just don't make our bodies a living sacrifice. We just live our life every day assuming that everything's going to be okay. And if it is, great. And if it's not, we're going to gripe and complain about it. And yet there's people all over the world today, and even in the many hundreds and thousands of years before, that gave it all for God, and they accomplished their reasonable service for the Lord. They did what was expected. You know, I pick at Brother Glenn all the time because he's easy to pick at. And I remember him one time coming, you know, because he would, every now and then, he wouldn't be exactly on time for services, even though we kind of start whenever we feel like it. But still, he was trying. And I remember one time he came and he said something like, I remember all the words, he said something like, yeah, Pastor, you proud of me? I made it on time today. I'm thinking, isn't that what you're supposed to be doing? I mean, am I supposed to be surprised that you made it on time? I mean, aren't we all supposed to be here on time? What am I missing here? Amen. And sometimes, you know, we work for God, we do things for God, and we are involved in the work of God, but is our life really a living sacrifice for God? Are we doing our reasonable service for God? Are we doing just what's expected? And even Jesus mentions that in one of the parables about the servant, you know, and he served the master and everything, and he had the master sit down to eat, and you know, he ate, and the master ate, and then he ate. And God tells us in that scripture that he didn't go above and beyond and do great things for his Lord. He did was what he's supposed to be doing. That's what he was expected. That's exactly what his job is. It may seem to us, like, oh, he went above and beyond. He did a great job for his master. He did good. That's what he's supposed to be doing. And it catches us by surprise sometimes. And when God wants us to serve him and be a living sacrifice, yes, we have to be acceptable. Yes, God wants us to be holy in our living, but he wants us to live as a living sacrifice. That means something needs to die for us to live for God. And it's always going to be something about us that we need that has to die for us to live for God. And God knows our heart. God just wants us to live the Christian life. And it's not ever going to be an easy road. God never said it was going to be an easy road, but it is the right road. It's what he expects his children to do. It doesn't matter where we live, what country we're in, and what's going on in our life today. What's going on in our world today, what's going on in our family, how many times we got threatened, how many times people want to take our life because we're a follower of Jesus, whatever the situation may be. Just remember, God expects us to be a living sacrifice, to do our reasonable service. Whether we live another day or we live another 100 years, we ought to live it for God. Let's stand to our feet for a moment and give the Lord an opportunity to continue to help us this evening as we have a time of invitation. Altars are open if you'd like to use them, and you can pray where you're at. But let's just pray together and ask the Lord, what do you have us do today? I know we have people, you know, maybe here, maybe online, that just have been looking and searching for the right answer. And God tells us plainly that if you're going to be acceptable in his eyes, there's nothing you can do to change that, to make yourself acceptable. Only God can change you and make you acceptable. That means we must put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can be saved today if you'll just trust the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. Just call upon him and ask him to save you today. And maybe you're here listening and you realize that you are a believer and you know that you're going to be in heaven one day. And maybe we just haven't been focusing on the Lord like we should. Maybe there's some things in our life we need to remove or get rid of that we need to die to in order to live for Christ. And let's be that sacrifice God expects us to be, that living sacrifice, so that we can live for him every day. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we have here today. We do ask, Lord, you'll bless this invitation time, that people may continue to speak to you and get their hearts right with you, and you may change us and help us to live that Christian life. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we pray, the altars are open. Come and let God have his way.